Hi. Hello. Hi. Welcome. I'm late as usual. We're actually a whole day late, like if we want to get technical. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the George Massey Show. We're going to talk Happily Ever After tonight, and then tomorrow we're going to talk MILF Manor and Love in Paradise, because I feel like we probably shouldn't try to fit everything into tonight. So we're going to talk Love in Paradise and MILF Manor tomorrow. I hope you guys had a chance to watch MILF Manor, and I don't know if you guys caught up with last season. You didn't have to, but we're going to be discussing this season. Why is this at a weird angle? Hey, the Diva Speaks. Hey, Portuguese Princess. Hey, Debbie. Hey, Molly. Hi, everybody. TJ. Hi, TJ. Hi, Love Fit Megs. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I was at a Ludacris concert yesterday, but Cara was working and Dee Dee wasn't feeling well. So how are you feeling, Dee Dee?
Not really good.
You still sick? Oh my gosh. I thought you were better. This is bad. This is bad because there's a lot. I was going to talk a lot about this. I don't know how much you're going to be able to get out, right?
I'll be all right.
Okay. All right. Let me send this to Cara, because Cara doesn't be getting notifications from me. So she probably doesn't even know we're live right now. So I'm going to send this to Cara. So yeah, yesterday, I was at a concert and Cara actually had to work all night and you were sick. So it wasn't going to happen anyway. And there's a lot to talk about, but I'm going to try. Oh, Cara's here. Cool. Because I was like, I'm going to try to wait for Cara to get here. Hopefully we can make it. But Cara's here. I don't know, Dee Dee. You're looking sick right now. Like, I don't know.
It comes and goes. So I'll be okay.
Okay. Hi. Hey. Hello, Cara. How are you?
Hey. Good. How are you guys?
I'm good. Well, I'm good. I don't know how Dee Dee's doing. She's kind of sick right now.
It's fine. I'm texting her. She'll be okay.
Yeah, that's all it takes, right? Just the text. Yeah.
It's going to be fine. I'll be your voice.
So basically, episode 7 aired. There was no Angela and Michael again. Huh. And they were also not in the preview for next week.
Weird.
Even though people have told me they're on the show. So again, I'm confused. I don't know where we're going with this. I've gotten very good sources that tell me they're still on the show. I haven't seen them. I don't know what's going on. And I don't like to.
Did you see her live where she told TLC to stick it?
I did. I saw her go live. She said FTLC. And then 2 days later, she did an interview with Auntie's Advice. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say her name. With a blogger. And she said, pay attention. She's on the show and watch it very closely. You'll see what's going on. So it was very conflicting, right? Like, she said she couldn't stand TLC. And then she said that she was going to be on the season. Pay attention. But then, again, she wasn't there. Anyway, enough about people who weren't there. There's enough conversation about people who were. So I want to go over this mommy makeover thing again, because we talked about it. And then now Twitter has been destroying Lauren, right? Because they feel like, in their opinion, asking Alexi to take over her duties. And then, okay, so the one thing that Twitter, they've harped on, was she's risking everything for like 8 pounds. And I don't know how true that is. I mean, I do know that Lauren doesn't look like she has any extra weight anywhere. But again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's not about what we see. It's more so about how she feels. But how do you feel about the severity of it? Because we learned that there's going to be bags that she needs to, of liquid that she needs to empty, and well, that Alexi needs to empty. And then it's going to be a pretty big lifestyle change for her and her family. And a lot of people are saying, outweighing the good and the bad, maybe this isn't necessarily something that she should do with her kids being so young. Does it matter? Do you think that her kids' ages plays a part in it? Do you think that having 3 kids under 3 is going to make this a bad time for her to do it? Like, how do you feel? Are your feelings the same as they were a couple weeks ago?
Same as they were a couple of weeks ago, but now even more so, because I knew that Alex had all this shit on his plate once she does it, but I didn't know about the drain tubes and everything, and that's so much. That is so much. Mm-hmm.
mean, and that's a serious thing. Like, not emptying them properly and not emptying them on time can cause complications. And I think that's putting a lot on his plate, as well as three kids under three. You know, he definitely, he works, right? So there's going to be a lot of time that he comes home and he's going to be still on the clock, because a lot of mothers explain that to you. Like, they go to work and then they come home and they put in another 10-hour day at home. And I think he's always been, you know, spoiled. A lot of men are spoiled when they come home and their wives or their spouses, they give them such an easy. Oh, wait, TJ said something about FMLA. What's FMLA? Family Medical Leave Act, something like that. But okay, I have a question about that. If you take that, do you get paid? Or is it just time off? Oh, you do get paid.
Yeah.
But see, I know men qualify for the Family Medical Leave Act when it comes to, like, if they're having a child.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's paternal leave.
Oh, so
there's maternity leave. There's maternity leave and paternity leave for fathers. So the Family Medical Leave Act is if you have to leave because there's a medical, usually emergency in the family, but he's got to be there to take care of the kids. So I'm sure, I want to say that he would get paid for it, but he made it sound like he wasn't taking any time off, because he said with working full time and taking care of, you wouldn't say with working full time if you were taking the time off.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right. I mean, and I was under the impression, since it's not happening to him, they wouldn't give it to him. And then this is a elective. I know when it comes to elective surgeries, it doesn't fall under emergency anymore.
Right.
Even, I think the only one that really does is like gastric bypass.
Yeah.
Because that's an elective, but it also falls under emergency, because if you don't do it, your health could deteriorate to the point of where you could be either immobile and even die. So I think that's the one where they've made it, that one does qualify for like leave and disability and stuff like that. Oh, Saf Bunny says that her husband got FMLA. What did he have going on? Or was it for you? Because that's my question. Because is he going to be able to handle dealing with what's done? A lot of men misinterpret or misunderstand the amount of work taking care of a child is. You know, you come home and you don't know what your wife is doing all day. And
he said it himself when he said, "No bitching at me. You want to do laundry 5 times a day, I'm going to do it once a week, and I don't want to fold it." So, I mean,
well, yeah, I mean,
part of her job.
Keeping up with a household is a full-time job, and then having kids is a full-time job, and doing both. And I guess it's part of being married, but I guess in my opinion, since this isn't an emergency need, I can kind of understand why he's like, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it to the extent that you expect. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to do laundry 10 times a week. I'm not going to do dishes every single day. I'm not going to do everything that you think needs to be done. Like, I totally understand that. But at the same time, is it fair for a man to say, oh, well, since this is something you want and not need, I shouldn't have to give my all? Because I feel like women do a lot of things that they don't want to do for men. You know, like in a relationship, how many times does a woman cook or clean or do laundry or iron clothes or clean bathrooms? They don't want to do any of that stuff. So I kind of didn't like the way that he made it seem like, well, since this is something that you want to do and not need, I shouldn't really have to go out of my way. Because I feel like in a relationship, you should do the same for each other regardless.
But I feel like he was being more of an ass about it just because he's trying to get his point across that I really don't want you to do this.
Well, yeah, he kept saying, like, it's not too late for you to change your mind. It's not too late for you to change your mind. And I didn't know if that was coming from a place of concern because, you know, I've seen too many stories lately where people have had complications. There's been people who passed away from a very easy routine elective procedure, right?
Yeah.
Like they were doing BBLs or they were doing the fat transfer where you take fat from somewhere you don't want it, you put it in your butt, or whatever, and people have had major issues and complications. So I didn't know if he was trying to talk her out of it because he just doesn't want to step up.
Well, I mean,
or
she's having her face done, like her chin, and you have to realize that she just did her nose right before this, right? So he already had to step up for that. So that's one surgery. So he got a small taste of it. now she's doing her nose and her hips and her butt and her boobs and all the things. So,
yeah.
And she cannot lift.
Yeah, she already cries like a baby. Yep. I mean, she cries about everything. So just imagine, it's like he's going to have four screaming kids for 2 months. Yep. I would be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people said online yesterday that Lauren could just go to the gym. How do y'all feel about that statement? They were like, don't risk it all and don't put your family through this when, you know, it's like 7 or 8 pounds. Like, a lot of people are saying, just head down to the gym. They live in a really nice condominium. I know there's a gym there. Do you agree with that statement, or do you think it's insensitive? Because a lot of people are like, girl, just take your ass to the gym and get that body that you want.
Going to the gym.
That's insensitive because she has a right to have the surgery. She has a right to feel beautiful in her own skin. But I think she needs to wait a little bit longer because he's got a lot on his plate. I would wait until the kids were at least in school before I did it.
That's a good point. When the kids are in school, that's like a 5, 6, 7 hour break during the day.
She already goes to the gym. She posts on her Instagram all the time that she goes to the gym. So she's already going to the gym. But going to the gym doesn't fix your face. It doesn't give you bigger boobs. It doesn't fix you. It doesn't give you a bigger butt. It doesn't do any of that. It firms you up. It tones you up. But she also said that when she had her C-section, muscles were cut and her abs aren't right and all of that. She can go to the gym all she wants. That is not going to fix that. That's something that has to be surgically repaired. So everyone telling her to go to the gym needs to go on her Instagram and read the whole story.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't follow her on Instagram. I didn't know her workout routine. But I have heard women say after having a child, bounce, because a lot of people are like, oh, you can just bounce back. A lot of times that there's areas and parts of your body that don't bounce back, right? Like, women are not action figures, right?
My youngest baby is 22 years old, and I'm still trying to lose the baby weight.
Really?
So,
see, I think a lot of people, especially people that don't have kids, and men don't know shit.
Yeah.
Men like to say, oh, well, you know, you could just go to the gym, because a man's body is not built the same way as a woman's body, because a woman's body produces life and a man's doesn't. So men are like, oh, well, I started eating chicken and lean meats and went to the gym and I lost weight. It's the same situation, because you don't have a uterus, you don't build human life, and you don't know, your body doesn't go through those changes. And I feel like it's her body, she should be able to do what she wants, but I also feel like it's a huge risk for someone with children so young.
Yeah.
But I'm torn between the two, because if she wants to do it and she can afford it, she has every right to do it. And like Alexi said, it doesn't matter what I think. You know, this is what you want to do. He can't sway her decision in either direction, which I respect him for that, because a lot of husbands would just say no, right? A lot of husbands would just try to say no.
I'm more confused by how she found a doctor that would do all of these procedures at once.
See, that's the thing about this this day and age. Doctors are so willing to do whatever you have the money for. And I think that's where there's a lot of complications and issues lately that we haven't been seeing. Like, in the past, people were able to do these elective surgeries and they didn't have any issues. And now we're seeing a lot of issues. And I think doctors are more willing. If you have the money, they're willing to do whatever you ask. And doctors used to have a little more of a moral compass.
Yeah.
They used to say, look, you don't need this, or you can do this, but we'll spread it out over time.
They're doing her back and her front at the same time. So
that's scary, right? That's very scary.
Like, you just,
and he said that it was a 5 to 6 hour surgery. Yeah. The longer that you're under anesthesia, the worse things can go. Like, that's the one thing I learned about major surgery and these types of surgeries. The longer that you're under, the more things that can go wrong. And, you know, that's, I honestly, in my opinion, I think they should spread it out over time, over a year. Like, there's a lot of doctors who will be like, well, let's set up a plan. And they'll set up a plan and they'll do one thing at a time, one area at a time. And I think that's the safest way to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know a lot of people want instant results. That's kind of where we are in 2024. We want instant results. That's why there's the Ozempic outbreak of people that want I want to have my body right now. I want to do this right now. And I think that that's scary. It's a very scary situation where we think that results are supposed to be instant, especially when you're going under the knife. It's not supposed to be instant. It's supposed to be something that you work towards. Oh, I want to talk about Jasmine's mom, because we found out that Jasmine's mom really does have cancer, right? Because I thought that she was overreacting because Jasmine has a tendency to overreact to everything. But her mom really does have cancer, but it's caught in the very early stages. But the dilemma is her mom is going to be going to treatment and she's not allowed to be there. And, you know, I put myself in Jasmine's shoes and I was like, if my mom was going through something like that, I would need to be there. So I hate to sympathize with Jasmine because it's hard, but I was like, I totally understand how she feels. She gave up her kids, seeing her kids, because she didn't have them full time, but she did get to see them. She gave up spending their birthdays with her. She gave up spending her birthday with her family. And now she's giving up the chance to spend that time with her mom during that healing process. There's a lot that she gave up.
But she's getting her way. All she had to do is use the depressed word, which she throws around like it's the word the. I'm so depressed. And Gina's like, oh, you need a vacation? Well, how are you going to go on a vacation to Florida at that when you can't afford an immigration attorney?
See, you've made a really good point. I didn't think about that. If you can't afford a $5,000 immigration attorney to get your kids here, and let's say that not going on this trip, you could have put that money towards it and got your kids here faster, why would you go to Florida? That is crazy to me. And then can we talk about Leandro's Airbnb? Yes. I know an Airbnb when I see one. You know, we've been through the Airbnb situation, especially with Mahogany in her Airbnb apartment. That was an Airbnb. There was no signs of living in that house. And I was trying to figure out why specifically they wouldn't use his actual home. And then some people on Twitter said that they think Leandro is an actor. They don't think that he's legit her friend. Do you all remember him from the bachelorette party? Because I can't remember who specifically was at her bachelorette party. Do you remember if he was there?
I think he was.
So this is legit her friend, right? Because
now,
a lot of
now
people
really have to go back and watch it, but I think you're right.
I know that there was a couple of guys there. I just can't remember. It's been too long for me to go back and remember who all was on the party bus. I think he was there. I'm not 100% sure, but I know for a fact. Okay, yeah, he was there. So this is her legit friend, but I can't imagine why they would use an Airbnb. Why do people use Airbnbs on TV? Is it because they're ashamed of where they live?
Like, because I'm getting live there. He just came to be on the show.
So you think he didn't actually move to Miami? He's still living in Colombia.
Yeah.
Or not Colombia, Panama. Yeah. Panama. He's still living in Panama. So this was just a way for him to get a trip paid for and Jasmine to get a trip paid for so they could see each other. Do you think that's what it was? Because I couldn't figure out why they were using that Airbnb. And let's be real, Miami, if you really did live in a house like that in Miami, that's like $10,000, $12,000 a month, right? Like a one-bedroom apartment in Miami is $4,500. So when I saw the house, it immediately was a red flag for me. Because I was like, well, you're not a rapper or an NBA player, so how would you expect, like, how do you expect me to believe that you, an immigrant who just recently arrived here, is living better than most of us? You know, like that's very hard for me to believe.
Okay, so, but also I would like to talk about her altogether. So let's say you're dating and you give me everything I want because I give you golden showers and all the things. And I say, I'm so depressed. And you say, oh, let's go on vacation. I'll spend the money I don't have and we'll get you there. And as soon as we get in our Uber, I start telling you about how this person that we're going to see was my lookout for the wild fantasy sex I had with my ex. But you're not allowed to talk about anybody you've ever been with.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting, yeah. Because his ex-wife, when she found the napkin, remember that said, like, for his birthday, that she said happy birthday on, she destroyed the napkin.
Yep.
So, yeah, the existence of his ex-wife, who she's fully aware of, he made it very clear that he was married before, she's stricken from life. She can't be spoken of, seen, whatever. But yeah, she did in pretty almost grave detail describe what they were doing, where they were doing it, and how much she enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And he was just okay with it. And we know that the double standard exists with her, but to the extent of where she controls everything that he can do and say, is quite alarming. And we thought at the beginning of last season that he was starting to stand up to her, but I think she's mastered the sympathy card. I miss
he's
my
got him
kid.
Over a barrel right now because he messed up and he messed up big. So
yeah,
whatever and she says is gonna go.
I miss my kids. My mom is sick. I miss home. I want to go back to Panama. And I think he lost that sense of balls that he was growing at the time, because now he actually does feel bad because he really did screw up. Like at first, she just controlled them because she controlled them. But now I feel like he does have her. She has him by the balls at this point because he feels like she might actually leave me because I did screw this up. And I think that's the bulk of it. Oh, so she says that her dog Coco is gay and is attracted to men. It's really weird because dogs would be attracted to dogs. So I was like, what's up with the gay dog? Is this a thing? Like, does anybody have a dog that likes men over women or whatever? Like, is that
there are a ton of dogs that prefer men over women or women over men. Depending upon the situation that they came from, whether they were abused, whether they were locked in kennels, so on and so forth. It depends on who's nicer to them. It has nothing to do with being gay.
Well, right.
Crying out.
Because dogs don't have sex with human beings, right? So that was my whole thing. I was like, well, it's very possible that you have a dog that spent most of its life with a male owner. So it has like built a trust and bond with males. And it, hey, bestie, hey, Kim, and it wants to be around other males, like human males. Dogs specifically don't have a gender when it comes to, like, people. You know, like, dogs' gender only applies to other dogs. And can dogs really tell if another dog is a male or a female? I don't know a lot about dogs. Can they really tell?
I've seen dogs go and hump stuffed animals.
Right, like I don't even think that they have like a real gender orientation, right? Because you have to remember when it comes to animals, reproduction, sex is only for reproduction. They don't get any, I don't think they get any gratification from it or enjoyment. It's mostly just for reproduction. I'm not a doctor though. I'm not a vet. I can't say that that's like 100% real. But I'm pretty sure humans and animals, that it's a completely different process of what you get from it. And I think
I have a lot of animals. They're male and female. Some prefer to hang out with my husband. Some prefer to hang out with me. But it's not because they're in love with him. It's because they love him and he takes good care of them.
Well, right. We can't make anything serious that Jasmine is saying, right? It's just crazy. So Mahmood finally left Nicole. I was very, very happy with this episode. You know, I don't spend a lot of time on them. But this specific episode and these scenes, she wanted to try, and he was like, "Nah, I want to divorce you." And I was like, "Best decision ever." I was like, "I'm happy that he made the decision to walk away." He was there for 3 days, Carl. 3 days, and the mayhem and chaos and craziness that transpired in those 3 days. Like, I don't even know why he was here in the first place. But one thing I really want to say is I'm happy that he's going back to his country where he belongs.
But also, as much as I try not to watch this couple, because I'm so against it, they don't get marriage under any circumstance. She says he left and spent $300 on my credit card. You told him to leave, first of all, and that's not just yours, that's your guys's. It's you two together because you're married. So if my husband left and he used my credit card, that's his credit card too. So...
Well, not only that, but she brought him here. She's fully responsible for him regardless. So if she asked him to leave the only place in this whole country where he's allowed, it's every bit in his right to take her credit card because it's his. They're married, essentially. But even on top of that, even if they weren't, even if she was just the sponsor, it's still her responsibility to take care of him, make sure he has somewhere to go. You kicked him out in a city that he knows nothing about. No idea of where he is, how to deal with people. You did that to him. I think $300 is the least that she should have paid. And the fact that he even paid it back, you know, it changes my opinion of him a little bit. You know, I don't like either one. I think they're both toxic. I think neither one of them should be in a relationship with another person until they can figure out why that they are, why they act this way, why they react to relationships this way. But I think that he was the bigger person in this situation, and he showed that he could take the higher road than Nicole, and I don't think Nicole has ever taken the high road in her life. And I think that him getting on a plane, I don't know what happened because we know what transpired after this scene, so I'm assuming he didn't get on a plane right away, because I'm assuming that for some reason he went back to her, and that's where the domestic stuff transpired, unfortunately. But I'm assuming he probably went back because he needs money. You can't just get on an airplane without money, and I'm pretty sure a flight to Egypt from LAX is not $100, well, right? So I'm assuming...
He doesn't even have a phone, so... How's he supposed to book this shit? You have nowhere to go. Have no phone.
Right. I feel like it should have been the responsibility of production to get him on an airplane.
Yeah.
And make sure he was back home. And unfortunately, I don't think that's what they did.
And let the police be responsible for him.
Yeah, it's that whole situation is unfortunate. Anyway, Emily had a meeting with Kobe's friends, which went
bad. George.
What?
I'm glad that they're showing this, because how do we know this? And she's acting like this. How do we know she didn't make up those, that he was abusive to her? How do we know now that she didn't lie about the whole thing? Because we're seeing a side of her we've never seen before.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, too. You're right. The way that she reacted... And her temper, I think that it definitely is something that I would question, you know, because we've seen Mahmood in very high tense situations, and we haven't so far on camera seen him react in a violent way. Yeah. Like, he was physically being restrained by her friend, which I thought was completely inappropriate.
Absolutely.
You know, for a foreign person in a country where they know no one, for you to physically restrain them when they're trying to leave. I think that it was highly inappropriate. And even in that situation, he didn't react in anger. He was very frustrated. He was upset, but there was no violence to it. So I think you're right, Didi. The fact that those allegations were made, there might not be any truth to it at all. You know, she kept saying, like, I gave up so much, and he doesn't have to give up anything. He doesn't have to try. I'm the one who suffers. I'm the one who has to pay. I'm the one who goes through the pain. It's very possible that in her retaliation of him packing his shit to leave, she wanted to get her one last bit of revenge. And that could be exactly where those allegations came from. Again, we don't know that. That's alleged. But it's very possible, because the way that he handled everything that happened in those 3 days, I stand by him being the bigger person. Because
now, if you flip the script to when she was in Egypt, had his mom and sister restrained her in the slightest, she would have lost her mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The way that she would have reacted would have been extremely violent. And actually, over there, they would have locked her up. Like, over there, you can't act that way over there. So she's lucky that she didn't. But I don't know. They pissed me off. The whole thing is good. But I'm happy that they're done. Also, Ed and Liz are done as well. We're going to see their face-to-face, possibly. We're going to see their face-to-face next week. He wanted her to meet in a bar with her daughter, and she wasn't feeling that. So we're going to see if they actually meet up. It didn't seem like that they were going to meet up. I don't think she needs to meet up with this dude. I think that, you know, this is the best decision ever made for her without her having to put any input into it. Him walking away from her is the best thing that's ever going to happen to her. And if you follow her on Instagram, if you see her life now, she looks amazing. Her body, she lost weight, she's happy, she's glowing, she's in a good relationship, she's working at Encontro again, she's living the life that she always should have been living without this idiot in her life. So that's the light at the end of the tunnel for me, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we never have to see Ed and Liz on TV again.
Yep.
Right? Like, I'm hoping that this is the end, because I heard that they weren't at the Last Resort again, because, you know, that would be the perfect segue to put them back in the Last Resort. They're not, so hopefully this is it. We have moved forward. We have broken free from this. Ed himself. And I don't have anything against Liz. I just question if she's okay. You know, because in that episode, the only thing she kept saying was, I don't want this to end. And I work so hard to be with him. And I'm thinking, how tough was your life that Ed is that light at the end of the tunnel for you? Like, how tough are things for you that he is the savior in your life? And I was like,
that you literally gave up everything you had. You gave up your partnership in the business that you worked so hard to become a partner in. You gave up your house. You essentially left your child behind with summer visitation only. Like, she gave up a lot of shit to be. She gave up more than he has ever thought about giving up.
He wouldn't give anything up. That's the whole thing that pisses me off about this whole situation. He wouldn't give up anything for her, and never has, never would. So that's why I said, I just question why, you know, like, who hurt her to the extent that she thinks that she deserved to be treated this way for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my only, my only thought.
It's that TLC money. That's why she yelled in.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good money, but it's like, if you get to mistreat me on TV and make me look like this, you know, because I tweeted out, I was like, how low must one feel that Ed, Big Ed, is the person who gets to dump you on TV? Like, that must make you feel pretty low, right? Like, of all the people in the world, this guy, Humpty Dumpty himself, right? Like, this guy gets to belittle you. Of all the, like, he should be lucky that anyone is even giving him 5 seconds of their time to even entertain him. And he's like, he gets to make you look bad on TV constantly.
Yep.
You know, that's like hard for me. But okay, so I'm gonna talk about Kobe and Emily, because Kobe finally stood up to his friends and said that he doesn't want them to come to the wedding if they don't respect the relationship. And y'all know I am 100% on board with people not coming to weddings when they don't agree with the union. I know, Kara, you said that you will go and you will bring your negative energy and spread it all around. But I personally think if I don't agree with the union of two people, I don't want to be there and kind of rain, piss on their parade.
With that being said, I'm not going to somebody's wedding that's already married and built a family in another country to bring my negative energy. I just won't go. But if it's Ed and Liz, I'll go to their freaking wedding and spread my energy all over the place. All over.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's a different thing, because you know that.
I will spread my negative energy, but I will choose wisely.
Well, that's a different thing, like, because you know that that relationship isn't going to work out. That's a different thing. Like, I would go to a relationship that I know is doomed. I would go to the wedding because especially if it's catered, you got to do is cater an event and send me an invitation and I'm there. You know, I've been to weddings where I knew people weren't going to make it. I've been to family members' weddings where I knew that they weren't going to make it and they didn't. But the catering was really good. I chose the steak, you know, so it just depends on the situation. But I think that it was finally ready in time for Kobe to stand up to his friends. And I know cultural differences are really hard, but Kobe is an American now. And I hate to be like that, but when you move to another country and you start a family and you start having kids over in this country and they are born into this country as citizens, you have to start adapting to your situation. And when he brought Emily over there, I get that he wanted her to experience, you know, how he lived. But I think that it was needed for him to say, look, I get that you want to talk to her crazy. And I know in our culture, it's okay to talk to her crazy, especially her being a white woman. It's okay, you know, because they have a special feeling towards white women. You know, in Africa, they refer to them literally as white women. You know, like, they have a certain way that they feel. And I think that it was just important for him to stand up and just say, look, you don't have to accept her. You don't have to accept our relationship. But if you do want to come to the wedding, I'm going to need you to stop being disrespectful to my wife. I stand by him. And I know that was difficult for him because these are people he grew up with, and he had to kind of go against how he was raised to come to that conclusion. But I think it's important because, again, his life is in Kansas now. You have to respect and uphold the marriage and life that you're building, not the life that you are leaving behind.
But I do love how he stood up for her, because he could have said, don't talk to my wife like that, brush it under the rug, and invited them to the wedding. But instead, he's like, you know what? Don't talk to my wife like that. And also, I think it's pretty good that you don't come to our wedding. I mean, he defended her the way a man should. He did a good job.
And a lot of people said that she didn't deserve it, because, you know, people don't like Emily, you know, specifically. A lot of people are like, well, she goes over there and she has an attitude. People think that she has a chip on her shoulder. Do y'all feel like Emily always has an attitude? Because people keep saying that on Twitter. They're like, Emily always has like a chip on her shoulder and she's always looking to start a fight. Do y'all feel like that? See, Didi, you think she does. I mean, I don't know if she specifically always wants to start a fight, but she might be easily offended. I think that that might be an issue that she has. When someone says something that she doesn't like, she typically blows it out of proportion. I think that is part of being Emily, right?
See, I feel differently. I don't think that she's always got a chip on her shoulder, and I don't think she always wants to fight. I do think that she has been spoiled rotten by her parents her entire life. Yeah. And anytime she needs something, mom and dad are there. And now that she's got Kobe, she feels the same way. That very much comes out in her personality. She doesn't come across as a bitter, angry person. She comes across as a spoiled white woman.
Interesting. So she expects people to come out and defend her and save her in situations. But do you think that attitude lands her in situations where she needs to be defended? Or do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I think that she speaks a little more freely because she knows that there will always be someone to defend her.
Yes.
And I think I think you nailed it. You're right. I think that she's never had anybody not defend her. So she speaks very freely because she knows even in Africa, somebody was going to stand up for her.
Yeah.
Somebody was going to take her side. And I think that she used that to her advantage, the way that she was speaking to his friends. I think if she didn't have that entitled, spoiled upbringing, she would have been a little more lenient to what she said to these people, right? His friends. But I feel like you're right. The way that she was raised, the way that she's able to say whatever's on her mind and nobody is ever going to say she's wrong, she went over there and told him exactly how she felt.
Yep. But also, her parents are there with her. So she has a little bit more cushion there too.
She's got a whole support system. You're right. She's got a whole support system with her. A lot of times the parents aren't there with you. Usually it's just you. And I think you're a little less prone to be yelling and screaming at people in foreign countries when you don't have people there. Because she, you know, Emily knows if she gets arrested, her mom and dad are not going to leave her in Africa. She has somebody there that's going to save her. And she knows that she can talk to people, you know, however she feels. I mean, do you feel like it was okay the way that she was talking to them? Because she felt like they kept talking over her. Do you think it was okay for her to start yelling?
I feel like a couple of different things there. Number one, I feel like if just Emily and Kobe went to Cameroon, this would have never happened because there's no cameras and no parents. So she had to turn it up a notch for that. As far as her yelling over everyone, they're in a club. There's loud music. I don't care who you're talking to, you're yelling.
Yeah, you're right. The club scenes, it's very difficult. I did the club scene, you know, having a conversation. I don't know if y'all know this about me. I'm hard of hearing. I don't hear well. Didi, you probably know because we've hung out in person. You have to talk loudly, and I can read lips, but I don't hear very well. So, like, at a club, having a conversation with me is, like, impossible.
I was a bartender for a lot of years, so part of my language is yelling.
Well, yeah, because how else are you going to communicate? There's music and there's people screaming and talking. How else are you going to communicate? So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people said that she was out there yelling, but in that sense, in a club, there's no other language tone to use, you know, if you want someone to actually hear you. So I'm all about Emily and Kobe. And I think a lot of people, like, he was trending yesterday. They said that he's the king of the good guys right now. Everybody is team Kobe. They like the way that he stood up for his wife. They like the way that he, just in general, they just said of this season, he's the good guy. And I think that they're right. Kobe is definitely a stand-up guy. I like the way he stood up for his wife. Speaking of standing up for your wife, let's talk about Manuel and Ashley real quick, because we met Manuel's uncle. Oh my God, I had his name. Now I don't remember his name. He had the mustache.
Leonardo?
Yeah. Ashley is the one that set up these. He was the character, right?
Luigi.
So Ashley's the one that.
Mario and Luigi.
Yeah. Yes, I was like, man, you can't make this up. This mustache is crazy. But he met Ashley, and the conversation quickly turned to, like, Jesus and God and everything. And then he wanted to ask what she did, which is kind of like what she tried to warn Manuel about. He was like, it's pretty difficult to meet someone and not ask them, you know, what they do. And at first I thought she was overreacting, but the conversation did go that way. And it turns out that Manuel's family really are like really, really religious. Like nothing is not farther from the truth.
She could have avoided that. If she's, it just frustrates me because she's a witch that we all know she's not. But because she's a witch, when someone says, are you religious? Do you believe in God? You can lead with yes. Also, is the spaghetti here good? Like, detour. You can change it.
You're 100% right, because I was, you know, this is an old story. I was raised in a religious cult. So religion and talk, for me, when I meet people and within 5 minutes of the conversation, we're talking about God and the Bible, that's a red flag for me, only because I was stuck in a cult for so long. So I am very good at deterring the conversation from that, because I just don't want that to be the basis of a conversation.
But hear me out. If I'm a witch and you want to talk Bible to me and you say, do you believe in God? I can say yes and move on. Or I can say, yes, and I work with tarot cards and crystals, and I burn incense, and I gotta sage everything, and then I have sex in the bathroom, and everything's fine. How's your day going? That's not how that works. None of this works that way.
Not even a little, right? And
none of this.
I feel like, I'm gonna throw this out there, that Ashley has like this weird obsession with telling people she's a witch.
Yes.
Like, because I was talking about this yesterday.
You mean Ashley has a weird obsession with thinking she's a witch
and telling other people that? Yeah, because I was like, okay, so I removed the witch part from the situation. I was like, okay, so say I'm dating this girl and she's a stripper, mm-hmm. right? My mom would have an issue with that. My mom is a super religious person. She's in a religious cult, whatever. And I was like, what would be different of me asking the stripper, like, hey, I love that you're a stripper, but my mom, who's 70 years old and obsessed with God, is going to hate it. Let's kind of deter from that. What's different from him saying, hey, my family's super, super religious. They're not going to like that you think you're a witch. Let's deter from that. Like, what's the difference from asking one to the other? And I was like, I get that it's unfair to try to, you know, say, I don't want people to know what you do. But in different situations, sometimes it's very important to give enough information, but not all information needed, you know,
And I'm meeting your religious mom, and your religious mom asks me, what do you do for a living? I work in the entertainment industry. I work in the food service industry.
Well, right. There's a easy way to not give too much information.
Yes.
That was my whole point. I feel like Ashley walks around like, I have to make sure everyone knows that I'm a witch. Yes. And it's like, if witches really rode on brooms, I feel like she would fly around on brooms just so people knew that she was a witch, right? Like, she just walks around like, I'm a witch, I'm a witch, I'm a witch. Everything. She orders a drink. She's like, can I get a Coke and rum? Oh, I'm a witch. Like, it's always something that she has to tell everybody. And I was like, that's fine. You can be totally obsessed with what you do. But most people don't walk around telling everybody what they do for a living. Okay, so I want to talk about Erin, the chick who talks to aliens. I just want to spend a little bit of time on that. And she has like her own language. And she was reading Manuel and Ashley. And I don't know, like, I was really confused, because I didn't even know that, like, specifically you could see aliens, because I know that there's aliens. This is a whole story. We know that there's aliens, but you can't see them. So the fact that she communicates with them and then takes what the aliens say about us and then translates it back to us was like blowing my mind. Because I was like, if this was a full of BS contest between Ashley and Erin, Erin won, right? Because we know Ashley's full of BS. We know she's not a real witch. But I was like, is Erin for real? Like, is she for real that her actual job is talking to aliens? Who hires people to talk to aliens?
That's just as much her real job as it is that Ashley's a witch.
Right? Because somebody said,
I am a doctor and I'm doing Lauren surgery.
Well, right. At this point, you can just make up occupations, yeah. Right? Because they were like, at this point, Ashley called her friend and was like, hey, you know how I'm pretending to be a witch on TV? Do you want to pretend to be a crazy alien lady with me?
Yeah.
Like, this is where we're going at this point. It's literally ridiculous. Like, to the point of, like, what the actual hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then she was speaking in a language, and I'm like, so is that, like, a real language, or is she, like, literally making this up as she goes, right? And I feel like she was just making it up as she went.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What? A veneer tech. Yeah, her teeth were very nice.
We can all speak toddler if we want to. But we don't.
This was a lot for me. This was a lot. Like, I have an open mind, right? Like, I am super open to different things. But I was like, you mean to tell me that people call you and book you to ask you what aliens are saying about them, right? Like, is there really a market? Am I in the wrong business? Like, should I be taking people's money and telling them that I'm talking to aliens?
I mean, yeah. And then
you is have, that really you know, what's going on?
And your witches will be right behind you.
Oh. Okay, so I want to talk about Jose, right? Because Thais had a side eye most of this episode. And the side eye was actually warranted. A lot of people said that Thais is a side eye human being. Like, she's always side eye. Josh is side eye everybody. This was really actually warranted this episode because Jose, who is Patrick's dad, is kind of a a-hole. Sorry, Patrick, if you're watching this. He's kind of an a-hole, right? So Patrick let us know that his dad was absent from his upbringing. So, you know, I was in a situation where my dad was absent from my upbringing. So when you have that, you have this strong need for fatherly acceptance. You know, it's not something that you can control. You just need male acceptance, fatherly acceptance. You want that love that you were missing. And I feel like Jose is taking full advantage of Patrick because Patrick is paying rent in an apartment they don't live in. He's doing work in an apartment that they barely use. And what really caught me was when he showed up to the apartment. This is his first time meeting Alessi, right? His grandbaby, this beautiful girl. And what he has in his hand when he enters the apartment is a gallon of paint. Not a teddy bear, not a diaper bag, not a pacifier, not a bottle, nothing for this baby, right? And I was like, this is how I know this man is taking full advantage. And it's funny because Thais can see it. She's like, when we lived in this apartment, because Thais and her dad, Carlos, and her brother, they all lived in this apartment when Patrick was still in the U.S. before he brought her over, and he was taking advantage of Thais and her dad then. So she knows exactly what's going on, but how do you get through to somebody who is just happy to get the attention? Because did you see the way Patrick's eyes lit up every time his dad looked in his direction? And I was like, I totally can see that because he needed that as a child. And even though he's a grown man, it's still something that we crave emotionally from the person that was supposed to give you that attention as a child. How is she gonna get through to him? Or do you think that it's impossible? Because Patrick just kept saying, she doesn't understand. She doesn't know what it's like. And he would never
take it. Here's the thing though, flip the script on this one. You're here to see her dad, who literally calls you a bastard and doesn't want anything to do with you. So you're lucky that his dad walked in and accepted you. Plain and simple.
Yeah. His dad is very accepting, but would he be as accepting if there wasn't so much money involved and help? And
probably not. But the fact is they have worked on building this relationship. Patrick's more than happy to give his dad the money, because that's the only way he can help his dad. This is a relationship that Patrick very much values. Thais doesn't understand that because she doesn't value the relationship with her father the way that Patrick does. Otherwise, she would have taken dad's advice. Dad didn't give the blessing, I'm not getting married. Not lied to her father about why she's coming to America. There's so many things that are messed up between Thais and her dad, but are a smooth ride between Patrick and his dad. So I think she's jealous.
See, that's an interesting take on it, because I don't know. I feel like Patrick's relationship with his dad is great because he submits to whatever his dad asks for. So there's no conflict. I feel like if Patrick was to be like, no, I don't have time to paint. No, I don't have any money to give you. No, no, no. I feel like the dad would, it wouldn't be such a smooth sailing relationship. I feel like it's so smooth sailing because Patrick is very submissive to whatever his dad wants.
But also, he hasn't been there in 2 years. So yeah. It's hard to say, 2 years ago, did he tell his dad, next time I come, I'll paint. Or next time I come, we'll take care of this. We don't know what happened before he was on TV. So there could be promises that have been made that haven't been aired.
I think what got me was, he didn't ask Patrick to like, hey, let's paint together so we can catch up. Like, let's bond. He was like, I'm gonna leave and then you should wash these walls and paint this apartment. I think it would have been easier for me to accept if it was something that they did together. Because there's nothing wrong with, you know, father and son bonding over, you know, whatever hobby it is, carpentry, woodworking, building houses, working on cars. So many father and sons bond that way. I think what really irritated me was he just wanted Patrick to do it on his own. And I was like, well, why don't y'all do it together? It's been 2 years since you've seen each other. It would be great for you to spend that time together. He's not just a manual laborer use. You know, this is your son. And it's clear that Patrick is really yearning for his father's attention, even at his age, you know, because psychologically, we don't just grow up at 18 and all of our feelings turn into adult feelings. Patrick is still an 8-year-old boy inside emotionally with his dad. And I do feel like Thais was like, oh, well, he's exploiting those feelings. Kind of, yes. Like, I feel like his dad knows that Patrick was literally a bird eating out of his hand, because that attention that he's yearning, he's finally getting, even this late in life. And I don't know. It's hard for me, though, because I had that same situation. Like, I didn't have the father growing up, so I know what those feelings are like. And I just don't like seeing him take advantage of somebody who he should be spending the time with, or he should have spent time with the whole time.
But there's also, you know, everyone saying that he should have brought something for the baby, or he should have brought something for Thais, or this or that. Mm-hmm. Also, he probably shouldn't have came the first night after Patrick preached about wanting to just be with her.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, also, Patrick probably should have told her he was coming. So you spring anything like that on me, my reaction's not going to be good, whether I like the person or not.
But see, I think Thais sees right through it. But I think that Patrick, like I said, he's whatever his dad wants, because he was very clear that he was going to spend the first night there with his wife. But his dad calls or texts and he's like, hey, I'm in the area. Of course you can. Of course you can. Like, because it's whatever he wants.
That's exactly what I'm saying, though. So you're with your significant other and she says, I want to see my parents. And you're like, no, not tonight. We just got here. I want to spend time with just you. And then knock, knock, your mom shows up. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, my mom's coming. She's just supposed to be okay.
Well, no. Oh, no. Like, especially because this is sort of also a vacation trip, too, right? Because this is a beautiful place in Brazil. And not only that, but it's a vacation. She's seeing her kids, she's seeing her family, and her family's meeting the baby for the first time. They're having a big party. It's kind of a vacation. And, you know, the idea of bringing people into the apartment or bringing people over before you should, I think it's crazy. You know, I think that this whole situation, I'm kind of ready for John to get there, because I feel like John will be better able and better equipped to maneuver through this type of situation. Like Thais, she's not going to speak up. You know, that's not who she is. She'll talk to Patrick freely, but she's not going to like insert herself into the situation with Patrick and his dad. That's just not who she is. But the whole look of side eye that she gave the whole episode, I was just like, I could tell how this has been building up for some time. This isn't something that just started. She don't like this man. And when it was just for me, when he showed up empty handed, but with paint, I was like, see, that's too much for me. This is your grandbaby. You're meeting her for the first time. Just buy her a teddy bear. They cost like $10.
Yeah.
You know, just show that you're excited. I mean, don't get me wrong. He spent time. He held her. He interacted with her. That's great. But after 2 years of anticipation of meeting this person, you know, I know people, Cara, you probably know a little bit about this too, who find out that they're going to be a grandparent or a parent. They start buying stuff within like a week, right?
Oh my God. You don't even want to see what is right here.
I know, because you know, and we're talking months and months out, but you are already in that space.
I have so much stuff. My Amazon driver congratulated me on my new baby.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, he had 2 years to anticipate the meeting of this baby and showed up with nothing. And that just really, it broke my heart of anything, because I just wanted him to, because I have one rule when it comes to parenting. If you weren't the best possible parent and you weren't physically there for your kids when they were younger, you always have a second chance when it comes to grandkids. Yeah. So whatever you weren't able to fulfill with your kids, it's so important that you do that for your grandkids. Because I was like, yeah, he wasn't there when Patrick was growing up. That's okay. We can forgive. You know, we don't know the situation. But I wanted him to show Alessi, you know, what he couldn't show Patrick. And I feel like he's just kind of repeating the same cycle, the same process. He's very oriented in what he can get from people, you know, and I'm familiar with that. I have family, you know, that I grew up around that are like that, you know, whatever they can get from you, especially if you're doing better than them, you're a sense of a benefit to them. And I don't like that dynamic when it comes to family. And I just really hope that he would change for the grandbaby. Because, you know, you get two tries. You know, if you don't get it right with your kid, you have 100% of a second chance with those grandbabies. And I see so many times people, they redeem themselves 100 times over when it comes to them becoming a grandbaby.
Yep, I agree.
All right, guys. So we're going to wrap tonight. So we're going to come back tomorrow because MILF Manor and Love in Paradise, I watched both. But we don't have a lot of time tonight. But I figured since both are 1 hour shows, we could do them both tomorrow. We could knock that out. Hey, Jamie, I'm glad you got your Instagram account back. I was super worried. So yeah, we're going to come back tomorrow and we're going to do a MILF Manor recap, which I'm really excited about. Everybody is going to get really weird and strange, but it's going to be fun. And then we're going to talk about Love in Paradise, which aired tonight, which I already saw, but I'm not going to talk about because I know Dee Dee didn't watch it yet. So we're going to come back tomorrow night. I'll tell you guys what time soon. I'll post it on my story. And then we're going to come back and talk about that. And then next week for episode 8, we'll be back on Sunday at our regular scheduled time for Happily Ever After Show. Thanks for everybody for joining. Make sure you're following my co-host. Yeah, MILF Manor. I watched it. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people were like, I can't. But I will say this. The twist isn't the same that the twist was last year. A lot of people were very turned off by that, and they felt that it was gross. It's different. I'm just going to say that until we get into it next week. So make sure you're following both my co-hosts, Cara and Dee Dee. I couldn't do any of this without them. It's very important that you follow them both. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Thanks for joining us tonight. Everybody have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you all really soon.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.